Just want you to know Christmas is like 8 months away. It's pretty sad, isn't it? It's crazy. It is crazy. So last week we've been talking about these battles, and talked about the Battle of Jericho, and that one was pretty cool. Then from Jericho, we're going to talk about what happened this week. After that great, wonderful victory, I think what happened was I got a little cocky. You know, so anyway, so this week we're going to talk about that first battle with Ai. Or excuse me, the battle with Ai. And a little trouble came, just a little trouble. We'll see it. So back up, right before last week when we talked about it, remember they'd walked around the wall seven times, and then Joshua said just prior to this verse, we're fixing to shout after the horns blew. We're fixing to shout. And then he says this, Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed. Now, just stop right there. That word Karim, some of you that have been here a while, I've taught this in a different way before. The word Karim literally means to be destroyed or consumed. And God made it very clear from the beginning. Let me tell you something, man. One area God's serious about is him being first. Yeah. I mean, he just is. He just is, and I get it. But so in this particular area, what was happening is when the offerings or whatever would come in, it was called the first fruits, and the first fruits would either be destroyed or consumed. Consumed being they would give them to the priest so that the priest could eat. So that's what this word means. So he says, do not take any of these things that are set apart for destruction, which is that word Karim. Or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, or you yourselves will become Karim. You get it? So if we keep Karim, then we will become Karim, so we will be destroyed. That's what, and Joshua said this prior to the whole battle here, and he says, and you'll bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Verse 19, everything made from silver, gold, bronze, iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. So again, the first commandment of the Ten Commandments is what? You won't have any gods before me. God is to always be first in our life. I really try to incorporate that more so than I have in a long time. And what I mean by that is I want that to be incorporated in my life, in every avenue of my life, in all of my aggravations, in all of my frustrations, in all of my whatever. I want his perspective to be a part of that. So anyway, so we're going to move on because we got to get through this story here. So here's what happened. They had this tremendous victory. We talked about that last week, man. Had this tremendous victory. The walls came down. They went in. They saved Rahab and her family because of what she had done earlier. And what a great victory. What a great victory. But here's the very next chapter. But Israel violated the instructions about the Karim. For the Lord, but about the things set apart for the Lord. Karim is the reason, sorry, I just said the word Karim. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan was the son of, here's what's so funny, I'm going to show you why they gave you this whole thing about Achan. Achan was the son of Carmi, a descendant of Zimri, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. Now they said all that, and you'll know why. So here we go. Before we get there, let me say this. So what happened was Joshua sent men to scope out Ai. And they went and looked at Ai. Ai was a very small town, wasn't big like Jericho. Ai was very small. So they come back to him and they said, man, don't send everybody and make them have to climb up that hill. Just send, here's what they said, man, send 2,000 or 3,000. That'll be plenty. 2,000 or 3,000 because we got this. And this is what happened. So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 of them who were retreating down the slope. And the Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. And their courage melted away. We said this when we talked about Gideon about when he had the clay jar and the torch. You remember that? No battle will ever be won until the clay pot is broken. And the clay represents in the word our flesh. That's why God says that he loves a contrite and broken heart. Not that he wants your heart broken, but he wants your heart broken toward him. So what happened was, they had seen victory, man. Humongous victory at Jericho. Just send a couple thousand. And they got whipped. But then it threw them into fear. We'll keep going here because this gets a little bit better. So here's what happens. Joshua, they freak out because they were convinced they were going to win, right? God's on our side. They freak out, and so they do the ripping of the shirt and throwing the dust on their head and all that type of stuff. And then Joshua starts talking to God. Why did you allow this to happen? Why did you do this, God? You know, you brought us out, and now they're gonna the word's gonna get around, and the Amalekites are gonna kill us all, and we're gonna be wiped out. Why did you do this? You ever said that to God? Here's what he said. But the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up." Do you love that? I love that, man. Joshua's freaking out. Everybody's paralyzed with fear. He's laying before the Lord in the holy position, praying before God. And God's like, "Get up. Get up, Josh. Why are you lying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They've stolen some of the things that are commanded must be set apart, Kerem, set apart for destruction, consumption, for me. And they have not only stolen them, but have lied about it and hidden the things among their own belongings. That's why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. For now Israel itself has been set apart for destruction. Kerem, I will remain with you. I will not remain with you any longer unless you destroy the things among you that were set apart to be destroyed." God is first. The first battle. The first tithe, the first everything. He's first. Yeah, let me tell you something. This is so in me, this whole understanding. I have several times in the past, I pay my bills on Monday morning. I have several times in the past written a bill written a check before I wrote my tithe check and ripped that stupid check up and void it so that I can write the tithe check first. I know that's silly because it's all going to come out the same. It's not the point. This is so embedded in me that God is first. And that's fine. This is, by the way, as close as you're going to get to me begging for money. I don't teach a whole lot about money. Because I don't struggle. I only teach stuff I struggle with, kind of. Anyway, so there it is. They've stolen some of the things that were set apart. They've not only stolen them, but lied about them and hid the things among their belongings. That's why the Israelites are running from their enemy, and Israel itself has been set apart for destruction. I will again no longer remain until you get rid of that stuff. Now watch this. So here's what happened. Then God gave instructions. What he says in the next verse, which I did not put in there, is that you'll never defeat the enemy until you remove those things. I did put that in there. Sorry. So here's what God said. God gave instructions, and he says, here's what I want you to do. He says, you tell the people to purify themselves before morning, and in the morning, I want you to bring everybody together. And he says, I'm going to point out the tribe. Remember I told you at the beginning where it said who Achan was? He said, I want to point out the tribe. So here's what happened the next morning. They all show up. God says, it's the tribe of Judah. Then he says, and it's this clan. And then the clan comes out of that tribe. And then out of the clan, he pulls the family. And then out of the family, he goes one by one and pulls them one by one till he gets to Achan. I'm not sure why he just didn't start with Achan. I think maybe he just wanted people to see that he wasn't guessing. So this just happened. Achan's been pointed out that he has taken this Kerem, stolen some stuff. And here's the scripture. So then Joshua said to Achan, after God pointed him out, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling the truth. Make your confession and tell me what you've done. Don't hide it from me." So Achan replied. He got honest. He replied, "It's true. I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins, a bar of gold weighed so more than a pound, and I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent with silver buried deeper than the rest." Too bad he wasn't in the new covenant, because he probably wouldn't have got killed. But here's what I want to point you something out to you there. He wanted them so much, he cursed himself and his family. Because the end result of this story is they were killed, him and his family, and all the stuff that he had stolen was destroyed like it was supposed to be in the first place. My question is, because I've seen it happen and I've seen it done, what have you wanted so much that you did, that you took God's stuff? You know, man, I really need that new car. And I know I'm supposed to be given to the Lord, but man, I really need that new car. And I'll give you a great story concerning a car even. I had a young man years and years ago here. In fact, I believe, I say young man, he's probably my age, but I believe he's passed away since. But he came into my office, and he was on his fifth transmission on his vehicle. Fifth. And I looked at him, and I said, "You must not tithe." Well, he immediately got on the defensive, thinking that I look at the books. I don't have a clue. I don't know what y'all give. Don't care. I really don't. The reason I said that was because of Karam. Because what is the Lord's? You place it into something that is the Lord's, it's going to destroy that something. That sounds bizarre, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. You know what? Even when I was a drug addict, for some reason, I tithed. And then one time I realized, why are you tithing when you could buy more dope? True story. And so I stopped tithing. And again, I had 5 flat tires in a month. I never coordinated that till years and years later. But I'm just telling you right now, man. He wanted stuff so bad. And in his instance, 36 people died, not including his family, from just wanting something so bad. It's a lesson to be learned. And by the way, this isn't a lesson on giving. This is a lesson on obeying the Lord. And man, when you walk into the New Testament with me, obeying the Lord is a whole lot more different than the law was. Obeying the Lord now is to love your neighbors yourself. Obeying the Lord now is to walk in peace and mercy and grace and quit being critical and ugly, and that's the obedience of the Lord now. So this story, he wanted it so much. And I've seen people get second and third jobs because they want stuff so much. And I'm telling you, it kills your heart. It kills your heart. It really does. Sorry, I'm in a negative mode today. Sorry. But I want people to be set free in who he is, man. And it really isn't about stuff, because our stuff's, well, it reminds me of the little joke they told where this guy was filthy rich and dies and goes to heaven, and he said, "I just have one request. I really want to bring all the gold that I have, from the earth. Can I just please bring it up here?" And Peter looks at him and says, "Why would you want tar? Pavement, streets of gold. You get it? Okay. Well, at one point in time in my life, that was funny, but I guess it's not." Guess it's not today. So Achan and his family was killed. I said that. And this all happened in the Valley of Achor, which means the Valley of Trouble. And the trouble isn't about financial giving. The trouble is when they walked away from what God had instructed them to do. You know, I've told you a million, billion times, because it's very true, our sins are totally and completely forgiven. But there are consequences that still hang. You get what I'm saying? Because my daughter, when she was still alive, she would ask me silly questions, you know. Dad, if I murdered somebody, would you still love me? And I'm like, of course I would love you. I would visit you. I would turn you in. I would visit you. I'd watch the drip go on your arm when they put you to death. I mean, that's how brutal I was with her. She go, oh, Dad. And I'm like, yeah. You see what I'm saying? There's consequences to what we do. But so, and again, this happened in the Valley of Trouble. Now, here's what's so funny. Usually, most people will stop right there, and they never talk about the victory that did actually happen in AI. We always stop at the Valley of Trouble and then bless people and send them home walking like this. You know, well, that felt good. So everything's been taken care of now. All the Karam has been destroyed. Everybody's back on exactly where they need to be. It's perfect. And here's what I love about God. All he wants is first. We can have second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth. He wants first. Every time, all avenues of my life, he wants first. So here's, we get to go to chapter 8 now, where the good part is. It says, so then the Lord said to Joshua, after all that mess, can you imagine how traumatic that was? Don't be afraid or discouraged. Isn't that fun? How many times did he say, be strong and courageous when he started this whole thing? Joshua started this whole moving into the promised land. Now, God goes right back to it. Why? Because he was discouraged and he was fearful because that little town Ai just whipped them. And they felt all bad, too. They felt all good about themselves. Yeah, them Israelites took Jericho. They can't whip us because we're all that. So watch this. So don't be afraid and discouraged. Take all of your fighting men. Don't be throwing, no, we only need 2,000, 3,000. Take all of your fighting men and attack Ai, because I've given you the king of Ai and his people and his town and his land. You will destroy them as you destroy Jericho and its king, but this time you can keep the plunder. Why? Because God got his first. It always amazes people when people say, because common sense says you cannot, you have more money in your pocket with 100% than you would with 90%. It makes no common sense. But man, there's such a blessing in letting God have it first, because your car lasts longer. Everything works. You don't have all this goofy charges. And on occasion, maybe you'll find a $100 bill. Because you give it straight to me. So look, but this time you can keep the plunder and the livestock for yourselves. Now here's what I love. Set an ambush behind the town. So that's exactly what happened. And that's what Josh did. So here's what Josh did. We'll just read the story. I love it. So Joshua and all the fighting men set out to attack Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 this time. This time, instead of 10%, he went 100, 90, whatever. He went 90% of what he had, 3,000. Joshua chose 30,000 of his best warriors and sent them out at night with these orders. Hide in the bush close behind the town and be ready for action. When our main army attacks, the men of Ai will come out to fight as they did before, and we will run away from them, and we will let them chase us until we've drawn them away from the town. For they're going to say to themselves, the Israelites are running away from us like they did before, because we're all that in a bag of chips. Let me tell you something, man. The enemy will always be loud to you. Goliath was the loudest he ever was right before his defeat, when he was screaming at David that he was going to take him and feed him to the birds and ran, 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 and then he was defeated. So they'll say, the Israelites are running away from us as they did before. Then while we're running from them, you're going to jump from the ambush and take possession of the town, for the Lord your God will give you. And that's exactly what they did. And then from that town, they moved back to where the enemy was now surrounded, because they were in front and the ambush was in back. And now Ai was in the middle, stuck in the middle. I love it. So, so here's what happened. God did give let's read that end of it. I didn't finish it. Yeah, I did. Here it is. You will jump up from your ambush and take possession of the town, for the Lord your God will give it to you. And he did. And he did. It reminds me of that song. When it looks like I'm surrounded by you. I used to think that song was just weird. When it looks like I'm surrounded by you. But then, man, when it gets in your heart, you just have to, here's what I'm going to tell you, dude. Like, remember we talked about Elisha 100 weeks ago? Well, 5 or 6. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes so I can see the battle. Open my eyes so I don't just see what's in front of me, but I see what's around me. Because that is the truth. When I am surrounded by the enemy, no. I'm surrounded by him. It's really good stuff. So here's the end result of this whole thing. What I want you to know is Joshua and them from Ai, after that wonderful thing, they went on to do battle after battle after battle after battle. In fact, when it was all said and done, Joshua and the crew, his Israelites, defeated 31 kings. 31 of them. That greatness. But here's the greatest thing about Joshua in this story is this. Did you get Joshua 23 up there? Okay, because I did that late. Normally I send them early and I had this one scripture late. Joshua was an old man, fixing to die. And here's what he said. He said, well, there it is. Soon I'm going to die, going the way of everything on earth, deep in your hearts, and you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true, not a single one has failed. And then he died. What a great life of a man who started his life in battle, who every step that he took was in territory he had never taken before or been in before. So his whole life was in the midst of being totally uncomfortable. But what a life he had, and he served. I wanted to share that because next week I'm going to shift this thing because we now live under the new covenant, and our battles have changed from physical battles to spiritual battles. You know, you're not going to find the battle in the New Testament, by the way. You're not going to find, you know, or you find them talking about a battle that happened in the Old Testament, but you know, but there's the battle. So next week we'll chase the beginning of that next week, the New Testament battleground where we live, and there's a battle to be won. Because there's a fight, there's an enemy in our life, around us, and it's not people, it's the enemy of our soul, our mind. And he wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But the scripture is clear. The New Testament scripture is clear of the wonderful battle that we win because Christ has done it all for us. Amen? Amen.
Glenn, if you would, we're going to allow the children to come in today.
For communion.
I want them to understand and be a part of communion. And Ken Graves, would you come and gather this communion and... Keith, would you gather that? And then I think there's some men in the back. Henry, maybe if you could help with communion. Harry, if you're back there, if you could help. And we're going to wait for the children to get in here because I want to explain communion to the children. The thought that I had from these teachings on the battle is we may never be free from the battles, but we can be immune to the enemy's intent. We're going to have battles, but we know that everything that he's doing is to destroy us. It's to break up unity. It's to cause confusion and division. So although we're never going to be free from battles, whatever the enemy's intended doesn't have to take place. God can override it. Now, kids, I'm going to go... I want the parents to have approval for their children to take communion. So I'm going to ask the children to go find their parent. Would you find your parents and go sit with your parents? Because I want it to be their choice that you get to take communion. But I want to explain communion to you. And I want to encourage families these children are not too young to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. These children are not too young to be baptized. And these children are not too young to take communion, because most of them are facing things you and I didn't face till high school. You hearing me? So it's up to the parent. I don't want to override a parent, but I do want to talk to the children right now, and I want to explain communion to you, okay? When you're at Thanksgiving and everybody gets together, what do you do at Thanksgiving? You have a big turkey dinner, don't you? Everybody comes in and you have pies and you share that meal because it's a holiday. Well, in Jesus' time, there was a holiday, and it was called the Passover, and it meant when Jesus had saved all the people who believed in him and put the blood at the top of the doorpost and on each side, which we know that makes a cross. That was what we call a prophecy, foretelling what Jesus was going to do later through the cross. That's why we don't have to die. We're going to go to heaven. So they had this meal together. But because they had this meal together, they also went in and Jesus decided he wanted to serve them. And he wanted them to remember it because it was going to be the last time he had a meal with them. So he goes and he takes the bread and he takes his bread and he said, I want you to remember this bread. This is like my body, because it was a full loaf and there was enough to feed everybody. There's enough of Jesus for everybody. And then he said, he took wine, and he said, I want you to have a drink of this to represent my blood, probably because of the color of it, because I'm fixing to die for you, and when I die for you, I want you to remember me. And that's why on this little table, it says, this do in remembrance of me. That's why we have that on that table, is because we're going to remember what Jesus has done for us. Anyone still need communion, raise your hand. Front row. So what we're going to do, we now, like you have turkey every Thanksgiving, every time we come together, we want to come with thanksgiving and remember Jesus. So we do what he did, and we take this little piece of bread, and we take this juice that represents the wine, and we say, Jesus, we want to remember you, what you've done for us. Because, guys, there's power in it. Because we know that we can't heal ourselves, but Jesus can. We know that I can't always be good. That's no excuse not to try to do good. But it just means there's power for us that we can do better because of Jesus. And when we do fail, there's forgiveness. So what we want to do today, we're all going to take communion together. I think everybody's been served. I'm going to ask you if you'll just stand with me today. When we started service, kids, when you were back there and young students, as Aaron would say, for those who are still about to be preteens and working in that area, you don't think of yourself as a kid anymore, neither do we. That's why we want you in here. You can understand this. Before you came in, we had prayer, and I said, how many people need prayer for healing or some special need? And a lot of hands went up, a lot of hands. This is what Jesus did to answer all those needs, and we're going to remember it, and while we remember it, we're going to be grateful. I'm going to say, thank you, God, for what you've done. So his word says when he took it, he broke the bread. Talks about it in Luke and in Corinthians. And when he broke the bread, he blessed it. He gave thanks for it. And that's what we're going to do now. Father, we just thank you that you provided not just nourishment for our bodies through bread, but you provided nourishment for the body of Christ through all that you've done. God, bring the lost home. Help the body, God, to grow because of your love and mercy. And we take this today, God, in remembrance of you. Let's eat this together. That is good. You did very good. And now we're going to take this juice, and we're going to pray over that. Father, today we thank you for your blood, because you gave your life because you loved us so much. You said, I'll give my life so that their sins will count against me. God, help us to run from sin. Help us, Lord, to love you. And help us, God, to fight our battles with you telling us what to do, with you leading the way. And to every fear, we say, peace be still. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Let's drink this together.